Have you ever seen anything strange while exploring somewhere forbidden? Has a nighttime terror ever kept you awake? What if a ghost was stalking you in your own home? Today we test the believability of the haunted doll head.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual,
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Yes, thank you for joining us on today's episode. It is a listener submission. Cannot talk today. Thank you.
That's going to be a problem if you can't talk today.
It is. But this is a listener submission episode from our listener, Brianna, and she respectfully requests we do not reveal her last name, so I definitely won't do that.
I totally get that. Get that.
For sure.
I don't want anybody to know my last name.
I mean, yeah, because it's silly.
Yeah, it's a joke if you know my last name.
Yeah. So this episode is going to, it's takes place in Oklahoma.
I drove to Oklahoma one time.
Yeah, we had a friend that lived there.
He listens too. Shout out Parker.
Yeah. He called us and congratulated us on our 50,000 downloads.
He also has my last name. Not related.
That is true.
I was about to say his last name, and then I was about to say it's the same as mine, but then not enough time has passed for me to not be that on top of that.
Yeah, no. What you just said was like a riddle.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get my last name, although I post in our group.
So I do too. They know.
They know everything.
They know.
So there's an episode today? A story?
I hope so. Jesus. Yeah, I did the research for the listener episode.
You did research? Like, so you read it? Like, they gave you the story and you read it. Is that what you call research now?
I mean, research for me is...
I read almost every word.
It's taking their story and...
making it better.
Thinking about it. I think about what they tell me.
I throw a couple of lies in just to make it a little bit spicier.
Well, you know what? They've liked everything I've lied about so far, so...
That's true. That's a little bit presumptuous of you to assume.
We've asked... So we're being transported to Oklahoma on an evening that is a school night.
It's a school night, so it's not that good.
Let me back up. It doesn't start on a school night. It starts on, it's an evening adventure with friends.
Oh, I like stuff like that.
This starts a lot like It.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So there's like sewer, we're in Maine, except it's Oklahoma, clown, like 1,000 pages.
I mean, don't get too far ahead of me. You will see.
Okay. I will say, so does it have to do with a doll, I can assume?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Those were always some of my favorite, like, Twilight Zone.
It's not like a doll like you'd expect,
Goosebumps.
Though.
It's not like Slappy.
You will... No. No. Definitely not. You will see.
Little disappointed.
You won't be. I think it's weirder.
Ooh.
So, on this episode, we're going to talk about Brianna. Her experiences happened approximately 4 to 5 years ago. And she sent us the story in way of like three parts, right? And like any good story, it starts with a damsel in distress. And by a damsel, I mean a cat.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't think you want to put that out there about, you know, every good story should have a girl in danger so she can be saved by some...
No,
some
it's a cat. Oh, I'm just kidding.
I do like cat stories.
A little bit of landscaping. Behind her house where she lives, there's this big storm drain.
Okay.
I think that Oklahoma is built a little bit differently than Ohio.
It's flat.
Well,
it's very flat.
Parts of Ohio are flat, though, too. But I've never seen a storm drain big enough where I could fit myself and some friends in it at the same time. Have you?
Are you thinking, is it like a literal drain on the ground? Or are you talking about like one of those ones where you see like alligators and stuff in?
I think, yeah, it's like one of those ones where you see alligators.
Like you
it's
can like walk in?
Where the Ninja Turtles lived. It reminds me of like where the Ninja Turtles lived. That's how it was described to me.
Like sewer?
Yeah, kind of like a big sewer.
But okay, sorry. When you're saying in storm drain, are you thinking like a tube that you can walk inside of or like a drain where you have to lift up and go and drop down?
I thought it was kind of like A, but maybe it's kind of like B. Because the way she described it, she had to drop into this thing.
Okay. Okay, so then it's not. See, there's like... I was thinking of it because you said it. How it's like walking into it, like walking in through a tunnel that would like drain out water. Mm-hmm. But it would make sense that they'd have to, like, lift the thing and go in.
This feels like, I feel like we need, like, a city planner to comment on this episode.
It's Oklahoma, so. Have you been? No?
No, I didn't
You didn't go see Parker?
I didn't see Parker. I hate Parker. I'm just kidding.
You could drive for an hour and you look around and you're like, was I just here? I went to Oklahoma City to watch the Thunder play the Cavs, and LeBron was still on our team, and they destroyed OKC and Kevin Durant. And that's all I have to say.
Okay.
So continue about your storm dream
stuff. All right. So, like I said, I think Oklahoma is built differently. So the story starts. She sees this cat, this kitty, running into the storm drain. She's seen it several times, but they decided to rescue it. However, the first time they saw this cat, she sees it go into the storm drain, and she grabs some friends, and she decides it would be a fun thing to do to go into that storm drain.
I appreciate that you got rid of the suspense of whether or not the cat dies, because now I know that she has it. So,
and
I wasn't being sarcastic. I don't like animal deaths and stuff, so appreciate
it. It gets creepier with the cat later. There's more to this story.
I was hoping.
So her and her friends, the neighborhood friends, they drop several feet into this storm drain. And looking around, it's like this concrete drainage tunnel. It kind of looks a little bit like how I imagine it. Right? I'm a boy. I imagine it like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Kinda
yeah.
Like how their lair was set up. Kind of like that.
So, but if you were a girl, you were thinking about My Little Pony. So you wouldn't get the reference, but.
But they stumble upon this like four-way intersection. However, something shocking was right in front of them in that tunnel facing north. They gasped as they saw the grotesque yet fascinating sight, the doll's head.
They saw a doll's head
hanging.
That's so intentional.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? That's not like a head doesn't just randomly, like somebody throws it away, or, you know, I mean, like there's so many different ways that it could end up on
right,
the ground
like
there.
Flushed it or something.
Yeah, but hanging, that's like takes time. Somebody had to bring rope or whatever it was. They had to plan it out. They had to plot it.
And not only that, this doll's head is terrifying because it is covered in what appeared to be blood.
Oh.
It was in this reddish substance. Not only was it covered in blood, its eyes were scratched out. Its hair was cut short, and its teeth and mouth were maybe the most disturbing. They were large, too large for the head, and it was full of these long fangs. They were about as long as like a pinky finger.
Oh man!
On a little doll's head.
So this is a doll though, right? Like we're not getting into like shrunken head or like this isn't a living creature, right?
No, it's definitely
a doll.
It's a doll's head.
I mean, it's still creepy. I mean, that doesn't take away from it, but that's just like a completely different mindset. Man, so you're in the suit. Somebody put that up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like there's two creepy factors to this. It's like one, the item itself, the doll head. And then two, the fact that somebody took the time to one, create it. And then two, go in. Like, you have to put that there and create it, accepting that nobody may ever see it. You know what I mean? It's not like putting something in a park or on a street corner. Like, you almost makes it seem like they weren't supposed to find it. Oh man, that is creepy though.
Yeah, yeah.
And the hair was cut short.
Mm-hmm.
Damn,
it's this creepy doll head, and it's the fact that it's just hanging there is what gets me the most.
Did she say what was like, if it was rope or if it was chain or if it was string or anything?
No, she didn't say how it was hanging.
Okay,
there. But after that, they decided to leave pretty quickly
with the cat or
no, the cat was not there at the moment.
Yeah, cat put it there.
Yeah, right.
A little pause.
My cat would, though. Like
Artemis?
Yeah.
She's mean.
But the strange thing is that when they left, it seems that they were not the only ones that left or the only thing that left.
Did somebody steal the doll head?
No. Doll head was still there.
That's like some Jurassic Park 3 where he takes the eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
Billy!
Broke my attention, man.
Sorry. My bad. So something came with them.
Yes. Yes, it seems that something came with them.
A dinosaur.
No, definitely not. So everyone who was there that night always said the same thing after. Quote, their homes never felt the same. And a few people from this group, including our narrator, they experienced things that appeared to be supernatural. Now, she wasn't sure if it's, like, all connected, but she'd never experienced anything paranormal before this, before seeing the doll, but now she feels like she's always being watched.
Hmm.
And this right here is kind of like our prologue.
Okay, so that's kind of setting the stage.
Yeah, and now she's got two actual encounters, and they're both terrifying in different ways.
All right, I'm ready. I want to make no judgments. I heard the prologue.
Okay.
I'm ready to go into chapter one. Let's do it.
All right, chapter one. This takes place about a month or so after the initial
doll head.
Yes, encounter. The doll head running in the storm drain.
The storm drain doll head. Oh my god.
And they've adopted the cat by now. This cat's like their cat now.
Good.
It takes place late at night on a school night. And
this is where the school night comes into play.
Yeah. No matter how hard you sleep, sometimes you can't sleep. You know, she's having one of those nights. Like, you're laying awake in bed. No matter how hard you want to go to sleep, you can't.
Oh, okay. So I thought you said no matter how hard you sleep,
no,
you can't sleep.
No.
I mean, I don't sleep. But so you're saying, like, you want to go to bed and maybe you're even physically exhausted, but you just can't seem to fall asleep. Probably because you're thinking too much. Your mind's racing. You're
like, no matter what, she can't go to sleep.
Too much of that blue light from your phone. She's probably scrolling through Twitter.
Well, Brianna actually said she has issues sleeping, and she typically can't without some kind of melatonin in her system.
Have you ever tried melatonin?
Yeah, actually. Weirdly enough, it gives me migraines.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't take melatonin.
I've never tried it.
I actually take magnesium. That helps me a lot.
I like NyQuil.
So, like I said, this is a school night. I think Brianna's in high school here. She was awake until about 2 or 3 in the morning, and she was listening to some contemporary pop on the radio, trying to fall asleep.
Is that your phrasing or hers?
She said pop. I said contemporary pop.
Okay. She could have been listening to that Michael Jackson. You don't know.
She could have.
You don't know.
So as she rolls over to her left side, right, she slips. What are you doing?
I'm rolling to my left.
Oh, okay.
I'm there.
As she rolls over to her left side, suddenly, without warning, the radio seems to slow down. Space-time itself seems to shift. The radio even starts to fade out until all she could hear was her own heart thudding. Hoping the power had just gone out, she tried to ignore the feeling creeping in. Now, Brianna is a horror movie buff, so...
My girl right there.
So while she's laying there in the blackness, she's thinking of all the creatures, all the monsters, the demons that go bump the night.
Probably afraid to, like, have her foot hanging off the edge of the bed. That's when you start thinking about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is such a good quote, so I did it. I quoted her. All the demons and monsters I have ever seen on the TV that could pop out and kill me or drag me to hell or both were in her head.
Drag me to hell. Sam Raimi.
I love that movie, actually. I had such a crush on the girl.
Oh, really?
I did. Yeah.
I think you said that on this podcast at a different time.
I think so. I had her on my slide phone background.
Yes, I've heard that. So it must have been. We've talked about it on here before.
I think so.
More than we need to. So continue.
So then she unexpectedly heard her own door open as it brushed against the carpet. And she turned over.
Oh, so she's looking left and her door is on her right. And yes. She hears it open.
Yes. And she turns over, hoping it's just the dog.
So she has a dog and a cat.
Yes.
It's a good household.
But she sees a human figure. At this moment, she stopped breathing. She saw that it was shorter than her dad, but taller than her mom. Her parents weren't just checking in on her. And it also wasn't any of her siblings, because she was the oldest and they're all much shorter. So someone or something that she didn't know was standing in her doorway. Now she could hear the breathing.
She could hear it breathing?
Yeah, she could hear the breathing from the creature that was coming suddenly forward. It shot forward. And as it starts, it's stumbling as if it was drunk. It was knocking over things. It knocked over a stack of papers. So this is more than just a shadow at this point. It knocks over a stack of papers in her room, which was only about a foot away from her feet. And as it knocks that stuff over, it falls down. And it gets up and walks out, stumbling around. Like I said, like it's drunk in this intoxicated manner. And actually leaves her room, causing whatever chaos it meant to. And a couple moments later, Brianna heard thuds go down her steps. She didn't sleep for the rest of the night, as you can imagine. Glad the creature was gone, but she eventually drifted off about 5, and she only got a couple hours of sleep before she had to go to school. When she did reawake from her momentary rest, she hoped what she had experienced was only a dream. But when she looked on the floor, she saw the papers strewn all about, and she knew that what she experienced was real.
That was going to be my first question. I was going to say, because then it could have been something like, you know, sleep paralysis or like lucid, lucid dreaming in terms of creating a dream in her room. But the, I was going to ask if there was stuff strewn across her floor, because if so, whether paranormal or not, something happened in her room.
Yeah, and that's something a fact. Physical was in her room.
Dang.
On the way to school, she asked her parents who were taking there if they'd heard anything fall down the stairs last night.
Any thuds. Yeah.
And they said no. That is the first chapter of this story.
Interesting. So if that's real and it happened, how come she would be the only one to hear it?
It's an interesting thought. I don't have an answer to that.
All right. Well, that's why the discussion exists. So yeah. We can move on to chapter 2, which okay, is also the last chapter. It's a picture book. Is that your fake laugh?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if it... My fake laugh is even more hollow than that. Yeah.
I actually... I developed a fake laugh that isn't even my own.
What?
It's Michael Rapaport's. Oh, my
God. I like it.
I don't. I find myself doing it.
So this last chapter is the shortest, but I think probably the most interesting. So this takes place about a year later. Brianna is still having this sense of being watched everywhere. It's not stopped. So to set the scene, this is midday. This is at home, probably a little bit before noon. She's at home by herself. It's spring break. Both her parents are at work and her siblings are at daycare. Like any good self-care day, she was watching a movie, some unremarkable movie, with a bowl of macaroni and cheese.
I hope it was Kraft. I hope it was a scary movie. You don't know what year this is, right?
I don't know.
Man, I would guess a movie if I knew the year, but we don't, so okay. I won't.
However, the scary part starts approximately halfway through this movie. Her cat, The Rescue, bolts from behind the curtains. It was sitting on the windowsill.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it just goes, poof, it's gone.
Like, it runs... Somewhere else in the house?
Yeah, it runs past her, underneath the couch.
Oh, like it hides?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so she takes a moment and goes, what the f*** was that about?
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She then looks at the curtains where the cat was, and in the crease was a black eye staring back at her.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Oh, man. No. I just watched The Grudge, which wasn't that scary, and that's not a hot take, but that, for some reason, when you said that, that's what I pictured. And
it's just too. Like... I did too, 100%.
Were you picturing it low?
Yes.
Too?
Yeah. Kind of like a kneeling kid?
Yeah. Yeah. Like not human height standing level.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Doll level, but...
It's creepy.
Oh, man.
Let's finish this story.
Yeah.
So freaking out, she runs into the kitchen, grabs a knife, and locks the back door. At this point, the dog was going nuts. The cat is as far under the couch as it could get, and through her fear, she felt the boom of the sound of all the doors shutting at once. The house then started shaking like an isolated earthquake. So now she's in a puddle on the floor, and she's calling her dad while clutching her pathetically small paring knife. And her dad then calls the police, and she told the cops that she saw a boy in her house that was about 5'7", a bowl cut, and had black eyes. And then she spent the rest of the day at her dad's work, watching military trucks. And that's how that ends.
It's a very good height.
5'7"?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, just, that's a good one. I'm like, that's 5'7".
Perfect height,
no one's actually ever peaked at 5'7". And that's, as far as I know, the last thing that's happened to her.
See, what's interesting about that is like it fits the narrative that she's always feeling watched. It's just, here's what's interesting to think about is how many times have there been eyes available for her to see? There is just no cue to make her pay attention to it. like the cat running away, is what signaled her to find the eye looking at her. How many times, it almost makes you wonder if every time she felt eyes on her, they were there, she just one couldn't spot it. You know, well, I guess that's it. Just one. She couldn't spot it because nothing was giving its location mm-hmm. away.
That is frightening.
Yeah.
And the fact that it shut all the doors at once.
But she went to the back to lock the door.
To the kitchen door, yeah.
Yeah, I feel that made me think for a second that what she saw was outside.
I thought that too.
So she's locking herself inside with the thing.
That's what I gathered. That's how I read it. Although yeah. I'm not positive.
Maybe it was, but she said that there was a boy in the house with her.
She said behind the curtains. She'd specify.
Well, I would assume the curtains were interior curtains. Otherwise, they're changing them pretty regularly.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing. Unless it's like you think there's more, but it's almost kind of like I'm locking myself in here with this thing. Now, I'm not saying if I experienced that, I probably wouldn't be in. The decisions I would make following that probably wouldn't be the most logical, or I wouldn't be in the right
state of mind. That's what I was
saying. So I'm not trying to judge her in for what she did in that moment.
That's what I was saying.
Like, who knows what I would do?
Yeah, it was just like an unpractical decision at that moment.
Because, I mean, let's compare that for a second to one of our really, really, really early listener submissions, Lorenzo and the girl. It's like, okay, do you take action and run to the kitchen and grab a knife? Where Lorenzo, and he saw something, he just stood there and out of his peripheral for an entire movie, he just was like...
he just white-knuckled it.
And I don't know what I would do if I legitimately saw something like that. Especially being alone, too. You're so vulnerable. Yeah. It's like, I think I would probably lean more to just staying there and like, is this real? Is this real? Is this real? But who knows? I mean, run to the kitchen, get a knife.
The fact that the animals reacted, too, though.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the stories. Do you want to... talk about in the discussion?
Yeah, I feel like I already jumped the gun. I know. Let's do it.
Slide on over.
Just do it.
So, one, two, okay.
skip.
One, two, buckle my shoe.
Yeah.
I really want to discuss the first story.
With the head, or the doll's head.
No, not chapter zero.
Oh, not the prologue. Yeah. Chapter one. You want to talk about the dream. Well, not the dream. The thing coming into her bedroom.
Yeah, that's... I want to talk about that really, really a lot.
Okay. So I thought you were going to say really quick.
I don't know. I did, but I didn't want to say that. I want to dwell on this. It was not a shadow person, right?
Because it was too physical.
You could... Yeah. It was there.
Now, can shadow people not touch and move things?
Not typically. No, not everything. Every story I've heard about shadow people, they're just kind of shadows.
Hmm. I've heard stories about them throwing things, but either way, okay, this is a physical mass.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It's been presented as a mass in all stories.
Yeah. What do you make of the drunken, stumbling nature? What? What?
I heard a door.
Oh, okay.
Freaked me the f-
Okay, I was like, I thought you saw something.
No, Jesus.
Okay, this episode's got Charlie freaked.
Yeah, it really does, though.
So what do you make of the stumbling nature? Because I've never heard anything...
I haven't either. That is really unique, and I don't know what to do with that. It's weird.
Is there any way that... And I'm not taking away... Like, this isn't me trying to blanket the entire... episode. I'm just talking about this specific moment. Do you think there's a chance that one wasn't paranormal? So they still found the head. She still gets creepy feelings. Obviously, the eye will get that. We'll get there. But is there a chance she's half asleep? She's in a daze. Somebody like her dad walks in, and I mean, I don't know. I don't know the nature of the relationship or what, you know, I don't want to say, oh, maybe her dad was drinking and came home and stumbled around. I don't know her dad. I'm just saying, I wonder if that one in particular, how drastic from what she saw. But because she's in a half sleep, we don't know how far she was into drifting off. This moment, she feels a little bit like an unreliable narrator. Again, not taking away from the next part, and we'll get there, because obviously she was in... You know, she was very...
conscious.
Yes. But in this one, I feel like it's a little bit of a unreliable narrator, and we don't know if there's a chance that it could have been somebody in her family.
You're right. I can't see you're wrong. Because the radio drifting off, that could just be her falling asleep, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe she kicked it. You said it was like a foot from her bed.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a way she could have kicked her papers.
Yeah. She said 18 inches, actually, but...
Okay.
I rounded.
Also, if it was... who did she ask? Both of her parents if they heard a noise?
Yeah, she asked
both. I was going to say, if it was her dad, he might have been like, oh, no, I didn't fall. I mean, whatever you heard didn't fall. You know what I mean? He could have been covering. But at the same time, if nobody else in the house... It's kind of like, okay, if it was in her head, it wouldn't have knocked her papers down. But if it wasn't in her head, wouldn't somebody else have heard the thuds? Unless everybody's a very hard sleeper in the house.
That's why it's very... It's hard to put a pin on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're right. Maybe it's just a cover. I don't know. The first story, you're right. It feels like it's... I know offense, obviously, but it feels like it could possibly be of this realm.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that her experience is unbelievable. It just means I think there's other explanations.
Yeah.
Now, the eyeball. This is where it's external because she wasn't the only one that experienced it.
Yes, the dog and the cat.
Yes. That makes it hold more weight to me because clearly whatever she experienced in her bed was kind of focusing solely on her and mm-hmm. she alone experienced it. But even though she's home alone, I think it's huge that the cat ran. Did the dog react? I didn't hear that
part. Yeah, he was barking.
Okay. So that means something absolutely was there externally.
Yes.
And I mean, you don't just make up seeing an eye.
No, I know. And it's the details that she put in it, it heightened the credibility for me.
Like the black eye or?
Just how it was set up, right? How she set this story, you can see it.
Yeah.
Right? And I think she told it very well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the police ever found anything. I doubt it.
No, I doubt it.
But what happened after she sees the eye, before she calls her dad, the mm-hmm. doors all slam shut at once.
Right.
What could do that? What could shake the house?
One big gust of wind. No, I mean, that. It's, for me, it's night and day. The nighttime experience, I can talk myself out of. But this one, it's just like... And I was getting chills during it, too. So it definitely had an impact on me. Also, I mean, the head. I wonder if it's still there.
I don't know. I wouldn't... I don't even know if I want to see a picture or anything.
I wouldn't recommend. Do you think they took a picture?
I don't think
they probably had phones, right?
Probably. If this was like...
A few years ago or 5 years ago.
Five-ish years. Yeah, they probably had phones.
I had a phone then. I have a phone now, too. Do you think there was a connection? Or do you think it was just coincidence that...
I don't think it's coincidence. I think they... Maybe... My guess is that maybe there was some kind of summoning. And the doll was representative.
Yeah. In Oklahoma. Man. I wonder... So... But she said her friend group was feeling things.
Yeah, it was not just her.
It'd be interesting to hear what her friend group experienced as well.
All of her friend group, they all were experiencing at least the feeling of being watched.
Yeah.
Some even experienced similar apparition type things.
Man. Yeah, it'd be cool to hear some of those eventually. That's creepy though.
I guess overall, where do you rate it?
Where's the research?
Oh, the research?
Yeah, you said you researched.
Oh, the research was, I was thinking it was attachment.
Mm-hmm. You didn't
research. I mean,
some research. I'm not saying you have to, but you're the one that said research.
Well, I did.
I was waiting for it. I thought there might be something about the head, like doll heads or Oklahoma or something like that.
No. I feel like I misled you. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Obviously, the head part is believable. The dream, I would go skeptical, but... I definitely am somewhere between viable and believable for the final experience. So, and it's also, it's very broad. We're not trying to, kind of like when we were talking about the black-eyed kids, and we're like, it's more believable if you don't narrow it down to it's an alien, or it's interdimensional, or it's this. I don't know whether it's a shadow person. You seem to think it's not. I don't know. It's a stumbling thing. That could have been a dream. But something, her friends are feeling freaked out. She's feeling freaked out. She's at least having those thoughts, and something knocked over something in her room, and she saw an eye in the same spot that her cat got freaked out and her dog was barking. So I don't know what she's experiencing. I think the ritual aspect that you're talking about could hold some weight. I don't know if there's a connection to the doll head to what she's doing, or not what she's doing, but what she's experiencing. But I think, at the very least, that she's experiencing something. And it's very vague, but something is clearly there. So I will go believable in that she is having some type of supernatural experience that we can't really put a name on. Which is actually helping, like I said. If we could have put a name on it, I'd be more critical.
Yeah, pinpointing this would absolutely make it harder to believe. I feel obviously believable about the head. I believe that too. I feel skeptical about the first thing. The second experience, I think I go with viable.
So we're kind of in the same boat.
Yeah. So for me overall, I think I'm going to go with a viable.
Yeah.
Just because there's some more information that I'd like to have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like your friend's experiences. Maybe some physical stuff. And I mean like pictures. I mean,
I know what you mean. Okay.
But yeah, that's where I land.
I think it's totally fair.
So thank you for tuning in to this episode, this listener submission from Brianna from Oklahoma.
Yeah, thanks for submitting, Brianna. You're engaged on our stuff, especially on Instagram, so we appreciate you supporting us, listening, and submitting your own stories. If anybody else wants their paranormal encounters told on the podcast, head to our website, www.believingthebizarre.com. Go at the top in the menu to submit your experience. Fill out all the little parts of the form. More detailed, the better. And it could be on the podcast.
Yeah. Speaking of being on the podcast, well, not being on the podcast, but, you know, representing the podcast, we have lots of merchandise on our store as well, on the same website. And there's lots of cool shirts and hoodies and lots of really cool stuff with our neat logos. We got two or three that are really awesome.
So are you saying the rest are trash? Because there's more than two or three logos on the website.
Well, I mean, like, there's...
He's like, well, there's good ones, and then bad ones.
It's so defensive. It's not what I meant. I meant, like, there's, like,
logos. Oh, I didn't create them. I don't give a shit.
There's, like, logos, and then there's, like, the believability scale, which I wouldn't consider, like, a logo.
Yeah, I did actually make that one.
Yeah, I know you did. I like that one a lot. Yeah, would you consider arguably it a best. Logo?
No, okay. It's a design.
Yeah.
It's a design.
There are some really cool designs and some cool logos.
Wait, Charlie.
Yes.
Do you like board games?
I love board games.
Do you like conspiracies?
Obviously.
Yeah, okay, guys, listen. We haven't talked about this on the podcast yet. We shave it for the end. We got hit up by Netty Games, and they sent us a free copy of their conspiracy board game. We actually took a video playing it, and that'll be up. We're going through the editing process like that. But it's really cool, and it's pretty much like Trivial Pursuit, but it's all paranormal-based.
Yeah, they had stuff I didn't know.
I feel insufficient after playing it. Like, I feel like I need to do research. Like, I need to spend hours on YouTube and Wikipedia.
Like, real research. Like, not what I did.
But it's like they have questions about conspiracies and aliens and, like, technology, but, like, alien technology stuff. But it's, like, a Trivial Pursuit-style game. So they hit us up, and that's Netty Games, their conspiracy edition. And if you use the code BTB10 on their website, which will be linked in the description, you'll get 10% off. Now, listen, it doesn't hurt our feelings if you don't buy it. That's not our product. I'm just saying, if you like games, if you like Trivial Pursuit, and obviously you like conspiracies because you're listening to us, go check that out. If you use the code BTB10, you'll get 10% off. But we liked it. We had a really good time playing it, and you'll be able to see that. And we'll probably be doing some social posts about it. But just want to drop that there in case you're interested.
And if you're liking the show, please leave a review. 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, please.
That's right. And that's all we're going to ask of you now. You can go about your day, listen to another podcast, maybe take a walk. Maybe it's sunny where you are. Maybe it's flat if you're in Oklahoma. Probably is.
All right.
But anyway, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast, as bizarre as you are.
Oh man, we talked about Oklahoma and I didn't say anything about Baker Mayfield.